Today, as we've heard, is the first Sunday of Advent, so we light the first candle on our Advent wreath, which is the candle of hope. Over 2,000 years ago, in a world that was not much different to our own, when the Israelites had little hope for the future of their country or their people, the Jewish prophets called to God to come to the people and make things right. They told the people, and they tell us, that a Messiah would come as a new hope in the midst of suffering. Their prayers were answered with the birth of Jesus, also called Emmanuel, the Hebrew word meaning God is with us. Today begins our Advent journey of waiting, waiting for the birth of the one who is called the light of the world and the hope of the nations. As we light the candle of hope today, we give thanks for the prophets of today who dare to speak words of hope for liberation, who say no to the evil in the world, and who call us to overcome our fears so we may let go of faulty ways of thinking and doing and explore new visions of how things could be. Let's join together in the prayer that's on the screen. Pray with me. Lord God, so many in your world have lost hope or put their hope in false promises. Sometimes it can feel that you aren't here with us, but far away. We pray we feel you in our world again. Be Emmanuel for us, so we may see where you are already present. Enter our hearts to see in new ways the creative power of hope. Help us live into your hope, so we may be your light shining in the dark places of the world. We pray this in the name of the one who was born in Bethlehem and whose return we await. Amen.
This is the first Sunday in Advent. We heard from Fiona last week that the church year has ended, and from Joshua this morning. Today we mark the beginning of a new church year. Each year we can begin anew, remembering once again the hope that was promised to us. As we follow the readings during Advent, we read about the development of this hope. Why are these 4 weeks before Christmas called Advent? The term comes from a Latin word, adventus, meaning coming or arrival. We immediately think it refers to the coming of Jesus at Christmas time. But it's not the whole story. The focus of the entire season is the preparation to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Christ, in his first advent, or coming, excuse me, but also the anticipation of the return of Christ the King in his second advent. Both are referred to in the readings from Scripture today. Our first reading from the prophet Jeremiah prophesies the coming of Jesus, our King and Saviour. You'll find this on page 796 in your Bibles. And we read from Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 14. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring forth for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the coming of the child Jesus in Bethlehem, which we anticipate and prepare for in these next 4 weeks. That is what we are calling the first coming. We continue our readings from Scripture, but in the New Testament. You'll find this in the Gospel according to Mark, page 980. Excuse me. And we're reading from chapter 13, verse 32. But of that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home, he puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. The Gospel of Luke also speaks of the end of the world and what we refer to as the second coming of Jesus at the end of time. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But there is still another coming, which forms an important and indispensable link between these first and second comings. It is the welcoming of Jesus into our lives, here and now. This is something that takes place every day. By it, we both acknowledge the first coming of Jesus in Bethlehem and prepare for the second coming at an unknown future date. Our life in this world is a kind of journey or pilgrimage. It is important that we should know where we are going and where our destination lies. In this double focus on past and future, the Advent season symbolizes the spiritual journey of individuals and congregations as they affirm that Christ has come, that he is present in the world today, and that he will come again in power. That acknowledgement provides a basis for holy living, arising from a profound sense that we live between the times and are called to be faithful stewards of what is entrusted to us as God's people. But the scripture for today tells us that on the journey of life, we should be ready to stop our journey at any point. That is, to be ready to meet the Lord whenever he calls us to himself. Whether that be in the very near future or many years away. The important thing is, be prepared. But don't be afraid. Don't worry. In both the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, Christ tells us not to have anxious thoughts, but to consider the lilies of the field, who neither spin nor weave, but nonetheless, Solomon in all his glory was not attired like one of these. Fear, worry, and anxiety do not solve any problems. As we are living in anticipation of something more, better even, we don't need to know the time nor the hour, because we are living in a place of hope. We are reminded not to live in complacency, but in hope. Hope is a theological virtue, a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not a form of escapism or wishful thinking. But one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean we are to leave the present world as it is. In history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were the ones who thought most about the next. The apostles themselves are a significant example. We are sure that there are many others. The apostles were absolutely sure of the fact of the resurrection because they had seen Jesus risen and alive. They were equally sure that he would come back again to establish his eternal kingdom. They were sure of this because Jesus himself had promised to return. When Paul and others speak of hope, they do not mean a fragile wish that may be disappointed, but the certainty of faith that Jesus will keep his promise. The Christian's past is wiped clean by God's forgiveness. Our presence is filled with God's presence. And his future, our future, means being with Jesus himself. No wonder Peter called it a great and glorious joy.